HarperCollins presents Brouhaha, written and read by Ardal O'Hanlon. Brouhaha by Ardal O'Hanlon. For my children, Emily, Rebecca and Red, whose humour, resilience and companionship were such a boon during the great uncertainty. Between thought and expression lies a lifetime. Lou Reed, Some Kind of Love. Part 1. Kevin goes to work. Did I snore last night? Not really, love. Sure wasn't I awake anyway? Kevin, balancing the tray in one hand, picked up a cup of tea with the other and placed it on Sheila's bedside locker, next to a plate that was decorated with two slices of toast, which were neatly quartered, buttered and smeared with a thick-cut marmalade, the thickest cut available to man. There was also a probiotic yogurt-type drink, as prescribed by one of Sheila's Bridge Club friends, and a selection of pills on a saucer. Thanks. Don't forget your tablets. Do you know, I think I'm feeling better today. He'd heard that one before. That's great, love. I might get up. Kevin left the tray on the floor and got back into bed himself with a cup of tea. He'd had his porridge downstairs and his own fill of tablets when he was feeding the baby. Philip Sharkey is home, he said, chancing a glance at his wife of 22 years, 23 this coming December. Oh, I might go and see him today, so I might. That was the last thing Sheila needed to hear. She returned the cup to the bedside locker, shuffled down under the covers and turned her back on him, leaving Kevin staring at the wall, not for the first time, at the surreal painting of the head of a sweeping brush that doubled up as theatre curtains. It had been copied more than competently by Sheila in happier times from a book of Russian poster art. He often tried to imagine what scenes unfolded behind the bristly drapes as he finger-brushed his own bushy moustache. Over the past few days, Kevin, no flies on him, had sensed the tension in the town, thanks to Dove Connolly's poor decision to blow his own head off. It wasn't just the act of self-harm itself, the pointless splattering of blood and bone and brain all over his bedroom wall, that was the issue, unsettling as that was. In so doing, poor Dove had spread panic amongst the townspeople, raising all sorts of ugly questions, reviving all sorts of rumours, and inviting all sorts of unwelcome attention upon them. In Kevin's mind, there was method in Dove's madness. Showing a shocking assertiveness for possibly the first time in his life, and the last, says you, Dove blew the lid off the whole town. Tully Anna was famed for its extra-wide main street. It was said to be the widest in Europe, a handy feature to have when there were so many people to avoid. Which was all very well, except in what was a smallish border town, populated by just 3,000 pinched faces, and all of them secretive. You were never quite sure who exactly it was you were supposed to be avoiding. The sun was out for once, out of curiosity, says you, a provocation to the innately furtive natives on this head-sore summer's day. As a cop, Kevin couldn't deny that he was excited by the macabre turn of events. To his shame, he was energised by it. With Dove's best friend, Philip Sharkey, showing up unexpectedly, there was a curiosity in the air. Kevin could almost hear the clicks of sheds being unlocked and shotguns being loaded. Or was that just the cogs in his mind finding purchase again after years of inertia? He got dressed in his best suit, now a size too big, polished his shoes and walked the half mile or so to the Garda station, as he did most days, in his familiar slow-weaving side-to-side stride. He passed both graveyards without incident, surprised by how quiet the dead of all denominations were this morning. The lake to his right was still. A lone fisherman, Herman the German, Tulliana's only tourist in living memory, finishing a croissant before casting his first line of the day. They were both startled by the cat-like screech of a shabby-looking bird that rose high above the old monastery on the other side of the lake. A buzzard be Jesus if Kevin wasn't mistaken. He'd heard they were back. At the old railway station, now a builder's providers, he took a left to go up Church Street past the Gothic Revival Catholic Church, a towering edifice of sparrow-picked limestone from which he was currently barred. Up through the town he ambled, election posters jostling for position on the telegraph poles, wrought iron baskets hanging from street lamps and shop doorways, bursting with all sorts of floral effusions, lobelia at a guess,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?